Vielleicht habt ihr das ja auch schon mal gesehen, wenn Menschen ins Ausland fahren für ein paar Wochen oder ein paar Monate, um zu helfen, oft in Länder des globalen Südens. Und dann postet die Person ein Foto auf Instagram. Vielleicht sieht man dann jemanden, der mit schwarzen Kindern Fußball spielt oder Musik macht oder was weiß ich. Und dann kommt die Person nach ihren paar Wochen oder Monaten zurück, erzählt ihre Geschichten, lässt sich dafür ein bisschen feiern. Aber den Menschen vor Ort ist damit eigentlich nicht geholfen. Im Gegenteil, das ist sogar ein großes Problem, heißt White Saviorism. Und wir sprechen heute mit einer NGO aus Uganda, die sich dagegen engagiert. Mein Name ist Lars, ihr hört Solidarität, was können wir tun? Moin. Ich habe mich mit Rotomio Gabriel unterhalten aus Uganda, der ist Teil der Organisation No White Saviors. Kleiner Disclaimer an dieser Stelle, das Gespräch ist auf Englisch und als erstes habe ich ihn gefragt, was die Organisation No White Saviors eigentlich genau macht.
Okay, hello everyone, I am Rotomio Gabriel Kadandole, a team member on the No White Saviors. Now, No White Saviors is part of an NGO, Kusimama Africa, and we deal in various sectors of anti-racism work, and specifically No White Saviors is about education and the combat of white saviorism on the African continent or globally in the global south. These are places that have been colonized or are being colonized and exploited.
So, first off, this brings me to what I wanted to talk about in the first place. What are we dealing with when we are talking about no white saviorism? Like white saviorism, what is that? Maybe people know this term from movies. This is where I first heard it, like the white savior character in movies. But you are talking about something totally different. So what is it that we're dealing with?
Well, I would say it's almost the same thing with the movies, except that here we're not in a movie, actually in real life. And, you know, there's no director to yell cut, so yeah. The harm keeps on going. I would state that white saviorism is this inherent need and desire from people, mostly white people, to be the center of the story, to be seen as the savior, to be seen as the superman, you know? It's very inherent, and it's founded on often colonial structures that give individuals from the global north the power to even be white saviors and to avoid accountability, to continuously do harm without any sort of stopping to it, you know, without any sort of justice. Even if I should state, this privilege, the sort of privilege that comes with being, say, from the global north, or being a white person from the global north, and, you know, coming onto the African continent, because you have continuously been told in school, you know, in society, that Africa has problems that you can solve, you know.
So we're talking about the stereotype of, white youngsters finishing school, having this kind of gap year and saying, okay, I want to go abroad, I want to volunteer, and they go to countries of the global south and they do some kind of volunteership there. And yes. And you say as an organization, there's something problematic to that.
It is problematic.
You
look at the fact that some of these people haven't even finished school, you know. These are people who haven't experienced. Someone lives gap year in Berlin or in Bonn. I'm trying to think of another German city.
Stuttgart, Leipzig. Munich. Yeah.
All those. They leave that to go to Uganda, you know, to quote unquote volunteer.
Where you are at right now?
Yes, where I am right now. But the fact that they're coming to volunteer when they know they're not qualified, they don't have the experience. Someone in Munich can't, if they were in Munich, they wouldn't be able to volunteer in Munich because they know that they aren't qualified for it. They know that the law would not enable them to do so. So for them to cross the continent and come here and engage in activities that are harmful, often because they do not even have experience, that is not professional at all. That is going to bring more harm. You know, people going to say, quote unquote, teach in schools. These schools already have teachers. What you are doing is actually disrupting the normal flow of education. People stating that they want to go to volunteer in orphanages, quote unquote. You know, what you are doing is harming these kids, because these kids are now going to have attachment issues. You're seeing someone come in, they connect with someone for a week or two, and then the person just leaves out of the blue. We all know how in our human day-to-day interactions, we get attached to someone. And when that person leaves, you know, it hurts us. It impacts us as people. So imagine what those children are going through day after day, you know, volunteer after volunteer.
I think it's what is really striking about this, what you're saying, is these are basic needs. Like, we're talking about hospitals, we're talking about schools. This is basic infrastructure for any kind of country, any kind of civilization. And just imagining, like, I'm a dad, for instance, I have a 2-year-old son, and imagining the daycare that he's going to, where people would come every 4 weeks and the personnel is changing. This is something that I wouldn't want at all. But
exactly.
So this is what you're saying is, There's people coming, mostly young people. They have no job education, and they come to this very basic sector that is absolutely necessary to keep everything going. And this is kind of a disruption that is happening.
It is a disruption, and even though, say, in the cases where you have who are actually qualified, you have a teacher who comes to the school that your child is in, and they only go for 3 weeks. Mm. That doesn't build the child. You know, it stagnates their growth. It stagnates their development, their education.
Yeah.
We need to understand that very many of these sectors that they want to volunteer in already have people there. You know, so why not try to lift up the people who are already doing the work there. There are already hospitals with nurses, schools with teachers, many of these child care institutions with caretakers already, you know.
So we should be supporting these people already doing the job instead of sending people who are not qualified to do the job to cause disruption. But you are talking about, and this is also something that I experienced growing up as a student, I went abroad doing a volunteership in Sweden within the European Union, but there were a lot of people doing exactly like going to countries of the global south. And this being the case that this is everywhere, who's benefiting from this system? Because there must be somebody who gets some kind of profit from it.
The biggest benefactor of it is the global north, because time and time again, you know, look at the problems that they claim to solve on the African continent. These are problems that are still there. So we are not benefiting from their presence. Matter of fact, we are continuing to suffer. Meanwhile, say a child from the global north is coming to volunteer. They come, have that little experience that is self-centered. Then they write it on their CV and they can go and apply at the UN or any other international organization.
They're going to take pictures for social media. Uh-huh. They're going to write a blog about this. Yeah. Mm.
Get praised. All these organizations that bring in these volunteers, you know, they charge them 1,000 euros or 2,000 euros for like 2 weeks. It's basically an industry. Mm. You know, obviously there are people who are benefiting and there are people who are being benefited from, which is us, people in the global south.
So, because you mentioned this term volunteerism, which I think is a great term to coin what is actually going on. So this is what because you all also said that already in the beginning, that this white saviorism and also this volunteerism is grounded in colonialist structures that have been in place for centuries. So is this what you're kind of referring to? Because it sounds like the Western countries, European countries, are sending young, unqualified volunteers. Western companies are benefiting from it in terms of money. The people are benefiting from it in terms of praise and qualification and social media acknowledgement. So is this what you're kind of referring to when you say this is actually some sort of colonialist structure?
It is built on colonial structures. And I often find it very sad that people actually believe that colonialism is gone, but it's still there. It's still operating various ways. Very many of the structures in place that govern us as society, as us, you know, are shaped off of colonialism. When you have, say, for example, the way that aid works, the way that, you know, voluntarism works, is one way, even in technology.
Hmm.
You know, I'll give you a simple example.
Yeah, please.
I'm using an Android phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you find that when there are updates that are coming in, the African continent is often the last people to get it. You know, I think it's Germany that often gets the first updates, followed by the UK. Even when they were trying to bring in Siri, I remember back in the day when Siri was just being introduced as a beta testing, the African continent didn't have it. Mm. And the very few places that had it were in South Africa, in majorly white places like Durban, I'm not sure. But even say things like GoFundMe or PayPal, all these other international online platforms, a lot of them are based on colonialism. You know, they're based on colonial structures that pit the global north at an advantage over the global south.
Yeah. Also in terms of still getting necessary parts for electronics, for all kind of consumer products. I mean, this is all coming from the global south. So this is
exactly,
also
yeah,
still in place, this kind of extracting more and more. So let's talk about what No White Saviors is doing in order to go against this problem. I mean, you're not saying we want no more NGOs from the West, but you're saying you have a very specific and I believe a very upfront and a very constructive point. Would you mind explaining what it is that you're going for?
As Night Saviors, we're not trying to say that no more aid. We're saying there are better ways to do it. You know, we're stating that don't do unto others what you wouldn't want to be done unto you, because there are societies and communities in the global north that do get aid, but we do not see their photos plastered up on social media. We do not see the demonizing imagery of them used in adverts. For example, in the UK, it is quite illegal to use a photo of a child for a fundraising campaign. It is very illegal. But you find that organizations from the UK are going to go to the global south, take photos of the children there, and then, you know, make adverts that are often dehumanizing. You wouldn't, say if you're volunteering anywhere in the global north, you wouldn't just walk up to a random child, take a photo and upload.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, no.
You wouldn't. Yeah. So why is it that it's accepted for when it's on the African continent? You know, all these things are what we try to highlight, which is why we often prioritize education, you know. We cannot physically fight each and every one against white saviorism, but we can, to a larger extent, educate and put out information that will hopefully reach as many people as it can.
So what you are doing is basically spreading the message of, we don't need to be told what to do. We don't need unqualified workers. We need a kind of support that empowers us to grow, for the communities to grow, for all these institutions that we talked about, schools, hospitals, for them to be sufficient. And the last part is what you talked about, I find is really striking also. For people not to come for their own benefit. Is this the message that you are trying to send?
To a large degree, that is often the biggest component of white saviorism, the self-centeredness. Because if you are truly trying to uplift a community, you know, Hendrik, I don't know how much air ticket from Germany to Uganda is, but I do know it's a lot. It's a lot of euros. That money alone would have gone farther to help these communities if it was donated. The money you're going to spend on accommodation, the money you're going to spend on everything, if you just lump it up and just donate it to an organization, you would have made a more significant change than being on ground.
Let me just look that up, what it costs to get from Germany to Uganda, because I'm really interested in that now. Because that is something that is so easy to comprehend, to say, let's say it costs, it costs about 500 euros.
So 500 euros, you know, how much you're going to spend on accommodation here, transportation, all these basic needs. By the time you realize it, you need 2,000 euros just to be safe.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's 1,000 for the flight, so, and you still have to pay the company sending you, and yeah, it makes a lot of sense to say this money could very well help a lot more than you going by yourself.
Exactly, and the thing is, oftentimes when we try to highlight just the simple things, people often think that we don't want aid, but the truth is everywhere needs aid. You see, like, as recently shown, because of the pandemic, you know, the Global North has had various communities susceptible to, you know, harm. There was a case in the UK where school children weren't able to get meals, you know. So when... They did fundraising, because I remember there was an international, I think it was the World Food Program that tried to donate food, but the government refused, the UK government refused. So people decided to volunteer, and they didn't use photos of any children, of any school child starving. You know, they recognized the humanity of these children, which is something that isn't given to people on this side. Even when you look at, say, photography, you have people coming in and taking photos of people without consent or without even informed consent. You have photographers being given awards for taking nude photos of children, you know. And yet, if the same thing was being done to people in the Global North, it would be red flags. You know, the photographer would be called out.
It would be scandalous. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is also a very good point. I mean, this is...
It's double standard. It's literally double standard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked about the problem. We talked about that you are trying to educate. And I think we're going to the part where I want to ask you, what can we do? I mean, I'm speaking as a white German male, sitting in the European Union, living here. What can we do in order to tackle white saviorism? What is our responsibility?
Well, the first thing that I said, as I mentioned earlier on, is if you aren't allowed to do it in your home country, then you have no business doing it in the Global South. You know, that's the biggest advice I can give to anyone. It's very simple.
I think you can even do it one easier. It's because it's something I told you. I have a 2-year-old son, and this is something I teach him now. If you don't want this happening to you, you can't do it to other people.
Exactly.
It doesn't even have anything to do with the country. It's just really basic. It's a basic human feeling, yeah?
Yes, it's basically understanding and respecting the humanity of others. Additionally, the second advice I would give is trying as much as you can, say as a white person or as a person from the Global North with that privilege, is to not try and self-center your voice. You know, do not be the teller of the stories of other people. Rather, make sure that their stories are heard. You know, try as much as you can to give them a platform or to make sure that their voices are not silenced, because everyone has a voice. That's the truth. Everyone has a voice. The only difference is whose voices are being heard and whose voices are being shunned away. So to make sure that you do not shun away their voices as it has historically been done to them.
Okay, so the first thing is, if you go abroad to volunteer, if you decide to do that, I mean, the first thing would be to check if you really have to, or if you just want to give the money, for instance, to an organization that can use it better than what you can offer, probably. Check for that. The second thing is, if you go, behave in a way that you want to be treated yourself and that you expect the rules to be in your home country?
If you are coming to volunteer in the Global South, you have to understand the power dynamics at play. The fact that even in consent, asking someone for consent, you have to understand the power dynamics, because you as someone from the Global North, you are coming to communities where your ancestors have pillaged, exploited, and set up exploitative systems that are benefiting you to this day. You know, it's safe for a British person, not even a British, I'm not even going to specify a country, but say a European person came to the African continent, they are still going to benefit from colonialism. They are still going to be given this inherent trust of white people, that white people do not mean harm. But time and time again, history has proven this wrong. You know, so you, as a European, when you go to volunteer in South America, in Africa, or in Asia, you have to understand the power dynamics at play. It's not about going and saying, oh, I am not racist, or oh, I'm not benefiting from racism because, you know, I didn't do the things my ancestors did. And as much as you didn't physically do them, you're still benefiting from them because they're still in place. It's not like they just disappeared.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And one last thing I want to ask you. Is there any way that people listening to the podcast right now, people in Germany, can support No White Saviors, your organization? Is there any way that we can support you?
Yes. There are multiple ways. At the moment, we are actually setting up a library here in Kampala, Uganda. So if we would highly appreciate book donations. Although none of us speak German, so if the books could be in English, that would be much appreciated. Then also, donations of any kind, cash donations, which would enable us to, you know, purchase the books and enable us to do the work. So
we can link it in the we can put a link in the podcast description for that. Absolutely.
Exactly, and the biggest way that they can support our work is by sharing it. Sharing it and engaging in these conversations.
So follow you on Instagram, look you up. We'll give all the links in the description for people to find you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us in such depth about white saviorism and what we can do about it. And I wish you all the best, all the regards to Uganda. And thank you so, so much for talking to us.
Danke.
Das war mein Gespräch mit Roto Mio, und wenn ihr No White Saviors jetzt unterstützen wollt, schaut vorbei auf nowhitesaviors.org oder auf Instagram unter @nowhitesaviors und informiert euch, teilt die Inhalte, sprecht mit euren Freunden drüber. Wenn ihr seht, jemand geht ins Ausland, will sich engagieren, sprecht über diese Themen und informiert euch und hört weiter Solidarität. Was können wir tun? Dafür müsst ihr uns nur folgen auf Instagram. Folgt dem Podcast auf Spotify und wo es überall sonst Podcasts gibt, wo auch immer ihr diese Dinger hört. Und dann hören wir uns in 2 Wochen wieder. Bis dann, haut rein.